ask off before you come up here to do your part. It hooks on one thing or another. Thanks for leading us, you guys. I would just want to continue in that attitude of worship, and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, your faithfulness is overwhelming. Jesus, what you've accomplished in bringing salvation to all who will receive. It's not just at Christmas that we celebrate your coming and what you have accomplished. It's astounding us all the time when we're really aware of it. You have overcome sin and death. And in you, we can have true life. Wow, we praise you, Jesus. May it never become just old news to us. It's an old, old story, but it's good news, and it's constantly good news. You are the Prince of Peace and have come. Help us experience you personally and powerfully here this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, good to see all of you. I want to say a special thanks to Joe and Wade and Wade's friend Jay that we are live streaming. They've done that. Great work. A lot of extra hours figuring that out, and for the donation of the computer, and so it hasn't even cost us all that much. God's word's going out. Nothing stops that. But as we experience the season we're in, I mean, Irv mentioned it, right? There's a lot of anxiety, uncertainty. The government announced the new protocols last Tuesday? I don't even know what week I'm on anymore. Tuesday, and then Thursday, there was an additional letter to faith leaders about some more protocols. And so we need to wear masks up here. We actually have these cute little barriers that we purchased. So we're trying to live within these, within the restrictions. But boy, don't sometimes you just want it to stop? Amen? Just stop and give us a break that we don't have to adapt and adjust, right? The youth have just come up with a kind of a new plan, a new way of doing youth. Restrictions change, poof, got to reinvent it, right? And so, sometimes, right? Just the constant adapting. Enough already. Let's just go back to what it was. Anyway, so I pulled out a world map and just said to Beverly, you know what, when this is all over, wherever you hit, that's where we're going to go as a family. So give her the dart, the throw at the world map. So, when this is all over, we're going to spend 2 weeks behind our coach. No, I didn't really do that. I stole that off the internet. But wouldn't you want it to stop sometimes? But in the midst of it, what robs us of peace? Like this whole series, I didn't even know this for a while. Doing the pre-study for this series, the original Christmas songs, looking at Mary's song and Zechariah's prophecy, which is really lyrics of a song, just needs to be put to music, and several others. Just this powerful theme of peace came out. Often when we do the Advent readings, right, there's love, joy, peace, different themes, joy. But I just became convinced, wow, there's a powerful theme through all of this of peace. And boy, do we need peace. It was several weeks ago now where Stefanie and Philip Venter mentioned to me, could we mention what's going on in South Africa? And I actually can't remember. I don't think I mentioned it in that service, what's going on there. But you can almost take the world map and poke any single country on it and do some research of what's currently going on in that country. Utter craziness. The whole globe is imploding. Stuff is going on. We really need the Prince of Peace. What robs us of peace? Last week, Lauren acted, and Joe preached and did a great job leading us through some of Mary's story and her song. developing the theme of a practical peace. And going from that anxiety of what she was experiencing to the awe of the Christ and experiencing this practical peace. Wow, do we, every one of us, all people, need peace and to be a people of peace today. Well, this week we're going to look at one of the second song of peace, this original Christmas song. And you realize peace is shalom. Shalom. It's much more than we think that peace is kind of the absence of conflict. It is so much more than that. It's the shalom that Jesus brings is everything set right in every area of life. It's as it should be. Right? Irv said he regrets words he said, and then you got to go put the effort in and make it right as possible. Things on this planet are not absolutely right, but that's what he came to bring. Things made right. This term is really fit together with or and includes the aspect of being the body of Christ. When we're in right relationship with God and with each other, we experience something close to shalom. And really the picture is a great big weaving. Things woven together as they should be to make a beautiful picture. We have some hanging up here, right, just as examples. And those aren't weavings, but that's what it would be, is woven together. You ever think of that? We're the body of Christ. And when we just offer our little part, right, in our weakness, he is strong. We just offer our part. He weaves us together into an incredible tapestry. And it's a picture. Both we experience his shalom, things set right in the rightful place, and he is glorified. It's a picture of that. Throughout history, Israel was supposed to be that. In right relationship with God, in right relationship with each other, and be that tapestry, that living tapestry, for the whole world, every nation to see that. And that's what we still are as the body. We need to experience the promised peace that has come, this promised peace in Zechariah's song. And it comes out of silence. It comes out of silence. Luke 1:57-80 is where we're going today. But to really grasp what's going on here, we need to first look back. Be like looking in the rearview mirror as you're cruising down the road. What just happened? And our first look back is not just what just happened, but what happened way back there. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And sometimes we've heard that so many times, it just loses its emphasis. We lose the awe and the majesty of what went on. Utter a void, darkness. And God, in the beginning, God. He's there. In the beginning, God created. He speaks everything that exists into existence. And that's Genesis 1 and 2 develops some of that. But then Genesis 3 also happens, and it's broken, it's distorted. We call it the fall, right? Things that were just as they should be. Shalom. They're in right relationship with God and with each other at creation. Genesis 3 completely destroyed that. It's ruined. It's distorted. It's humans against each other. And out of that comes a curse of all creation. But God's response, he lovingly provides for them the clothes they now need. Cares for them. Throughout Genesis, he continues to reiterate a covenant where he is faithful, even when his people are not, right? To Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He keeps restating that. His faithfulness endures, and there's the beginning of it. God's initiative to bless all peoples of the earth through his chosen people and through his seed, not but singular, his seed. So now we'll keep moving forward. That's in the beginning. What's in between the Old and the New Testament? About 400 years. Often called the 400 years of silence. He doesn't speak. Then after, he speaks. And here's the New Testament. Here's where we're at in Luke. And what's he introduce? He introduces, after a little introduction, that Luke, the careful historian, does as he writes this, he brings in John the Baptist, the birth, the announcement of John's birth being foretold. So Zechariah was a priest, and his wife, Elizabeth, in the line of Aaron. Right? It's flowing out of the Old Testament. He speaks. They're both righteous before God, but barren. And that was a huge deal. But it's Zechariah that's serving. He's one of the priests before the Lord. And he's chosen by lot to burn incense before the Lord. And outside the temple are many people praying when an angel appears to him. And he's troubled and terrified, just like Mary was. It's understandable. We often look at cute little angels, and they got their cute little wings on, and they're always cute little girls that are cute, even when they're not dressed up like an angel. That's not what a biblical angel is. I don't want to get more into that, but he was terribly troubled and distressed. And the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son, and you are to name him John. Joy and gladness will be great before the Lord." There's special instructions given, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will point the way to God and prepare the way for the Messiah. This is what comes out of that 400 years of silence. He will point the way to God, and he will prepare the way for the Messiah. How, Zechariah says, how will I? I am very old, and so is my wife. We're beyond years of giving birth. God just goes on. He says, this is good news. But because you did not believe, Zechariah, you will not be able to speak until it is fulfilled, until it fully happens. Meanwhile, there's many people outside the temple waiting for him, wondering, what's going on to this crazy banana? He's been in the temple too long. Has God smote him dead, or what's going on? They're waiting. And then when Zechariah comes out, he can't speak. But he's experienced this powerful thing. And so, with no words, he tries to explain the story, but they're going, this guy's lost it. He's going crazy. Him and his wife are going to have a baby. Is that what he was trying to communicate? He heard, had some sort of vision there, saw an angel. What's going on? But he can't fully explain it and describe it. But they did realize he'd seen a vision, and he tried to act out what happened. And he goes home to his wife, and she conceives, just as God said, even though he didn't believe it, right? God's faithfulness. Then, what comes next in Luke? Well, it's Luke 1:26 to 38. The birth of Jesus is foretold. And as Mary is expecting, we heard from Joe last week, she goes and visits Elizabeth. Right? And the drama really brought it out. Oh, I'll go and visit Elizabeth, because she will understand. Who else is going to understand that I'm conceived miraculously other than someone else who's conceived miraculously? And when she arrives at Elizabeth's, what happens? Baby in Elizabeth jumps for joy. Right? Shouldn't that speak to our age too? That a fetus, a preborn child, is the first person to worship the baby Jesus before either of them are born yet. Then Mary's story continues to unfold that we heard last week. And then we get to Zechariah's prophecy. It's a song, lyrics only, verse 67 to 80 that they read so well for us here at our Advent reading this morning. But we need to look back just a wee bit more. We look back, we see Zechariah and Elizabeth's son is born. And there's much rejoicing. The whole community rejoices because a baby was so special and they were beyond years of having a baby and they're all celebrating. And they go to hear from Elizabeth, and what will his name be? They're thinking something Zechariah or Zechariah-ish, right? How many names have Bar-Jonah at the end, son of, and whatever else? And she says, no, his name is John. And they're going, there's nobody in your lineage named John. None of your ancestors. This can't be. So they go to Zechariah, who, of course, can't speak. What will his name be? And he asks for a tablet to write on. And he writes, his name is John. Suddenly, he could speak again. And what comes out of his mouth? Out of the silence comes blessing and praising God. And everyone realized this was a special child. I want to reread that. It was read for us, verse 67 to 80. Here is Zechariah's, what he prophesied. And his father, John's father, John was just born, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Right? It's all tied to one long story unfolding. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to the father, our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. We've been singing about this, right? Jesus has accomplished for all people who will receive him. And why? Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Right? He's conquered death. Again, we've been singing about. And to guide our feet into the way of peace. Shalom. He will guide us towards restoring, I've got a stick behind the barrier, guide us towards restoring shalom, things put together as they ought to be, in right relationship with God, right relationship with each other. This is the peace he's talking about, and he comes, and it comes out of silence. Where does this start in his prophecy? It starts with God's character, with his faithfulness, remembering God's faithfulness. Throughout millennia, he is faithful. He's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to show mercy, right? It's undeserved favor. It's not because we earn it or deserve it. It's because he is merciful and he's faithful to his own character. And he's faithful to bless all nations through his seed. This unfolding story. She just, wow, what is going on here, right? It's not just the old story, oh good, what am I going to get for Christmas, whatever else, get rid of COVID. That's not peace. That's just a little wee bit of an absence of conflict. But he says, I've come that you might have peace. Shalom, things truly set right in every area of life. And it comes out of silence. What else does he talk about here? He talks about the salvation. Several times it's mentioned. I'm going to read just a portion of it, but it's mentioned multiple times. or 76 to the first part of 79, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord, speaking about John, to prepare his ways. And to what? To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To bring salvation. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And he also brings a promised peace. This is where his prophecy ends. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Shalom again. Woven together as God has intended. It's restored. And we trust and obey God, his faithfulness. Right? It's not based on our faithfulness. It's based on his. Remembering his character and his faithfulness throughout millennia is a starting point. That's a starting point of knowing God. Trusting him. His faithfulness. And the promise, praise him, and gratitude should fill our hearts because of his salvation. Praise and gratitude fill us and overflow from us out of gratitude for his salvation. And then to know Jesus is to know peace. When we say no to Jesus, we are saying no to peace. There is, we lack shalom, we lack peace, right? When do you experience anxiety? And just being overwhelmed with confusion and frustration and whatever else is when we're stepping outside that right relationship with God or with his people or both. COVID can be bring about a really debilitating fear for some. Fear of what's going on. Fear of their loved one getting something that they have one of the serious consequences of. They die. There's a lot of people that fear death overwhelmingly so that it robs them of living life. They lack the peace of Christ. COVID can also bring a reactionary anger that hinders people from experiencing life. If everybody would just react the way I would, right, we could just get amped up with it. Or somebody else around us gets amped up and angered up, gets us angered up, ramped up, overwhelmed with stuff going on around us. Right, without COVID, there's enough going on in life, isn't there? We can get all wound up. Parenting, challenging. Having parents, challenging, whatever age we are. There's other health issues other than COVID going on. There's relationships and brokenness going on. How do we experience peace? It comes out of silence most often. We need to shut down some of the noise. And this is hard to do. I remember when we were traveling with VTI, I mean, it's happened to me quite a few times, including here in this church, where certain times, before I come up and preach, just overwhelming oppression and just the doubt and discouragement and all sorts of stuff just don't even go there, right? And what do I need to do? I need to come to the Prince of Peace and pray to him. Like, I remember one really intense time from BTI, Venture Games International, when we were leading teams, where it was just heavy on me to the point where I was so full of anxiety, I didn't even want to get up. I knew my part in the service was coming, but didn't even want to move. And I just turned to God in my own weakness and asked him to meet me. And he did. He did, overwhelmingly. But it started with reflecting on his faithfulness, his character. It's not based on me. It's not on my perfect presentation. It's not in whatever else, the fears, the doubts, the whoever else. It's him. It starts with him. And I'm already saved. I reflect on that, who I am in him, my identity. I have salvation. And you know what? I can go up and bomb, and it doesn't really, really change that fact at all. And I experience this peace when I just go and pray, be before Him. There's so much noise in our world. Some of it's from our own hearts and minds, right? Ever have a hard time shutting down your own mind, especially when you're trying to go to sleep? You've got to find a way to shut that noise down because it's way too loud. Get that volume button and crank it to the left, right? I remember Devin and Diana sharing up here their experience during COVID months. Sometimes it's the radio in our vehicle. There's too much noise. There's other people's noise, right? Maybe we need to shut down some of our social media. Absolutely. I'm not the first to say it. I'm not the last to say it. But these things have an off button. Right? They don't have to control us. We control them. Sometimes we got way too much noise going on. And there's no silence. And then we're going, wow, why don't I experience the peace of Christ that passes understanding? Quiet. Be quiet. Silence. Out of the silence comes His promised peace. He had a silence, Zechariah. Zechariah wasn't silencing himself with his doubts. God silenced him. But we can choose to do that. We can choose to silence the things going on around us. We can hear the voice of God. It takes practice. And it takes silencing all those other noises. And in the silence, reflect on His character. Reflect on who we are in Christ. The salvation He has brought. And it ends with experiencing that promised peace. It's not just theoretical peace. Promised, and He is faithful to bring it about. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Christmas story. We celebrate You, Jesus, Your coming in humility and humbleness to the stable, setting aside the glory of heaven for the stench of the stable. Never had physical dominant power, a position of power on this planet. But it didn't prevent You from being the Prince of Peace and being the culmination of the story of God's work throughout millennia to restore things as they ought to bring, to be, to bring true shalom. And we, Your people, would You help us discipline ourselves that we would silence the other noises from within, from without, from around us. We would silence those so we can hear You again, respond to You, and live in the peace that You've made possible. Help us receive Your promised peace. Just like salvation we need to receive peace that passes understanding. Jesus, You said, my peace I give to you. Many times Your word says, peace be upon you. And here in this passage it says, guide our feet into the way of peace. May You do that for us this week as we respond in obedience and silence some of the other noise. Lead us.